All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hey, Matt, I think we're ready to start the show.
Oh, great. Another Big Kev impression.
What's wrong with that one?
That's probably one of the best ones you've ever done, ever.
You say that every week. Now I'm starting to
feel like you're just lying. No, the British one is still the worst one ever. And I think you did a Civil War one once that was really terrible, too.
What's a Civil War accent?
It was like a Southern, like, KFC colonel kind of accent.
A Civil War accent.
Well, it's kind of...
It's not a Southern
Well, we did it when we were talking
accent.
About the History Channel Civil War game that
yes,
you had picked up for the Xbox.
I remember. Did so I do the whole episode that way?
Most of the first segment, I believe, unfortunately.
Okay. So. I don't understand what your problem is with my accents and my voices.
I have no problems.
I'm providing
no
entertainment
issues
to the show.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
All right.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162. All you need is cash.
Right.
My God. The Beatles are selling out all over the place. It's like, what, did Gene Simmons buy the Beatles properties or something?
There's no Beatles coffin yet.
Well, not yet.
So we're still okay.
That's what it's like, though. Like, what's next? Are we going to get more Beatles action figures from different tours?
I don't know. This week was Rock Band 2, Beatles Edition. The digital remastering of all the albums and re-release, although still not available on iTunes, by the way. Still not available on iTunes.
That's odd.
And I think there's a comic book coming out in, like, January. It's like a biopic comic book. It's an 8-part series.
Nice.
So there you go.
You probably should say who's joining us this evening.
You're the one that hates them.
I didn't roll right into the news.
I'm playing off the title. We're back and forth. It's
I'm just
fun.
Saying, you have friends here. You should introduce them.
We do have friends in studio with us tonight. We have George and Aline from Toy Break and October Toys with us. You hear us talk about them quite often.
You may remember George from October Toys from some of our live shows. At least that one live show.
The George puppet?
The George from October Toys puppet.
Where is Big Rat?
Big Rat is itching for a return.
Well,
so
he can come back anytime he wants.
Yeah, but it's just not the same without him, you know, like visually.
Oh, you could put that big picture of him up on the screen.
Yeah,
he can rant and rave over there. No?
Yeah, that's fun.
All right. Look, I'm just throwing it out.
Hey, look, Production Tim says we're ready to pretty much roll. We need a piece of this and a cup of that, and we're ready to roll with... the live versions of the show.
And you know, maybe some elusive footage that people have been asking about will be made available at that point in
That's
time.
That's an entirely separate issue. All
right, I'm just saying that it's all part of the Production Tim umbrella.
Umbrella, right.
That's we have some Studio area. V still in the bank that's got to come out. No, there's like three or four more, I think, that are still waiting to roll out.
Slated to be released.
Yes, sir.
We should say also that for an unprecedented second week in a row, just Mike joining us in the producer's chair.
Is this the first time in a long time that we've had a producer 2 weeks in a row?
Yes.
I think it might be.
I think so.
Because Senator,
he's going for the record.
Because Senator Triple B, actually the record is like a year and a half, but...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that guy.
You can't forget about that guy.
He's been gone forever.
He's been gone for almost a year, just under a year?
No. Not if we count the live stuff.
Well, if we count the live stuff, that was like March, wasn't it?
I know. I don't count that stuff.
Oh, all right. Well, then it's been almost a year.
Just saying.
All right.
So they're here.
Yeah, they are.
They're having a good time.
See?
They brought ding-dongs.
Yo, that makes them good in our book.
Yeah.
Except you didn't open the show eating them. You're breaking the pattern.
I was done by the time We rolled through your entrance.
Done like the first episode of Big Kev's Eat Stuff.
That's funny.
That's why funny. I said it.
Can I help if there is a recession going on in the country? Can I help?
Is
that?
It preventing you from eating stuff?
Can I help the fact that people are being laid off left and right? I had to let people go, sir. And what was I going to do?
People
was,
from the archive?
Was I going to let people go from this show? Or
no.
Was I going to let some production people from that project that wasn't off the ground yet go?
All right.
See?
Okay.
I'm looking out for the show.
All right.
And what are you doing? Mocking me.
I'm not part of that
making
show. That's all
fun.
You.
You're making fun of me.
Well, a little bit.
Under the whole umbrella of Big Kev Enterprises is what
wow.
I'm saying.
Wow, Enterprises now.
I had to let some people go.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Don't worry. It's still there. It's still in the mix. People can go over to it right now. BigKevEatStuff.com.
Just going
to
bounce
just
you back over
right
to
Geek
Stuff.
To Geek Stuff, but still, it's...
But it exists.
We own it. And we are working on it.
Right.
It's just taking longer because of the recession.
If that's the story you're telling, I'm with it.
Okay.
All right.
Presumably, you have something else to talk about.
Presumably, I have news.
Okay.
We'll start with the good news this week. Normally, we start so sour. Nick Cage, no longer associated with Green Hornet.
Now, how come this is the first time that we're talking about Nick Cage was even in Green Hornet?
Because we've been so excited about him being in The Sorcerer's Apprentice. That all of his involvement with the Green Hornet was
were
just...
Were we excited about
No, not
that?
At all. I'm not excited about anything Nick Cage does. I hate Nick Cage.
It's not right that you hate.
You hate. You hate Joe Quesada. Every week we talk about
it. I don't hate Joe Quesada. I say this every week.
All right.
I said, even last week, I said Joe Quesada might be very a personable guy in person.
I hate Joe Quesada, just for the record.
There. just Mike hates Joe Quesada. All right. I hate Joe Quesada. I'm not a fan of what Joe Quesada does with Marvel Comics.
Okay.
But I don't hate him.
Well, I hate Nick Cage.
Okay.
Insofar as he sucks.
What is the problem with him in the Green Hornet movie?
They couldn't come to an agreement, which means he wanted more money and they wouldn't give it to him.
So he's a cheap fuck.
Right.
We're not a cheap fuck.
Or not a cheap fuck.
Maybe.
Maybe he's going off to do Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, yes. I'm sure of that. Maybe they're reimagining Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah, but that means he wouldn't be in it.
Why?
And then it would be possibly... Because when they reimagine, they never bring back the same guy.
Okay, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. Unless maybe he's the villain in the Ghost Rider 2 movie.
He was the villain in the first Ghost Rider movie.
Yeah, he certainly was. No, that Bentley kid, that grossly miscast Wes Bentley.
Who was Wes Bentley?
He was Blackout.
Oh, yeah.
Terribly
no, Blackout?
Miscast. He was
Oh,
Blackout.
Yeah, he was Blackout. Yeah. That's right. I'm thinking he was Mephisto, but no, that
no,
was...
No, Mephisto was Peter Fonda.
Right.
Friend of this program.
He's a friend of this program?
He is. Now, you remember the drop that he cut?
Sure.
Well, just stay tuned to the first break, and you'll hear that that ID.
Wow, we're teasing drops now.
I know.
The rules. All right. Now we can go into some negative news. Rambo 5.
Five?
Versus Monsters.
What was Rambo 4?
Wasn't that the one that came out last year? Rambo 4? Yeah, right? Was that last year or 2 years
ago?
Rambo
4? I don't even remember.
Well, but I think it was
out.
The fourth film, right? It was First Blood. What was...
Was there a 4?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow, I've never seen it, if that's the case.
Yeah.
And I remember Son of Rambo.
No,
the
that
independent
was a silly
film.
Movie.
Oh. Oh, all right. So 5 is going to be what now?
A Savage Hunt.
Okay.
He's going to fight a monster.
Okay.
It's going to be some sort of genetic experiment.
Is it going to be like a dusty cloud monster on an island that bounces around time and shit? No.
No?
Okay.
No, that's a different thing
altogether. That would be the solution to that problem. Drop Rambo on that island.
And just
kill
take care
everybody.
Of everybody?
Don't matter what time he's in. In the 70s and now, whenever you are, dead. Kill you in 3 different time zones. 3 different time periods.
Periods? So Rambo 5, A Savage Hunt... is going into production next year and is going to be terrible because it's taking the monster movie route.
Yay.
That's like jumping the shark for Rambo movies. I mean, really, you could say that about
3.
Yeah, but
4. Rocky.
But still. It's like some sort of genetic experiment. It's a part guy, part monster, animal thing.
So like Predator.
Yes. But he's been very specific saying, but it's not like Universal Soldier. Why he is choosing to pick out Universal Soldier.
Did the Universal Soldier movies hunt monsters?
I've never seen
I thought
a
they
Universal
were the hunted.
Soldier.
You didn't? You know, one of those
I think
featured,
I saw maybe the first one.
One of those featured Goldberg, sir.
The Goldberg?
The Goldberg.
Was that the second or third Universal?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Second.
It was the
just
second
Mike
one,
says
just
second.
Mike says second. So.
All right. Well, I don't know why you know that. Quentin Rampage Jackson has been cast as B.A. Baracus in the upcoming A-Team film.
Now, which one is yeah, I know which one B.A. Baracus is. Thank you. Who is this now?
Quentin Rampage Jackson. He's a UFC fighter.
Oh, okay. I thought so.
You'd know him if you saw him. You'd be like, oh, that guy.
Is he the black guy?
He is the black guy. Okay, funny enough. Mohawk, big gold chains.
Got it.
Fought cancer?
Yeah. Wait. Thought the original guy did that.
Oh, right.
What's his name? Mr. T.
Mr. T. Yes.
Yes.
So I still don't care about this movie at all.
Will B.A. Baracus in the new movie feature the Mohawk and the gold chain?
There have been no pictures.
I see.
So we don't know.
Okay.
Bradley Cooper has already been cast to play Face, and Liam Neeson has been cast to play Hannibal. Liam Neeson, still that one last holdout that might make it.
Bradley Cooper?
Yes, Bradley Cooper.
Why do I know Bradley Cooper?
I don't know.
The Hangover.
There you go.
Oh, that new guy who's suddenly in every movie.
Don't forget Midnight Meat Train.
Oh, was he in Midnight Meat Train?
And he was the guy that they thought was going to be Green Lantern and should have been.
No, Nathan Fillion should have been Green Lantern.
Oh, absolutely. Nathan Fillion should have been Green Lantern.
After seeing that fan trailer,
yeah.
No one else should have played that but Nathan Fillion.
And who did we get? Ryan Reynolds?
Which
I'm not really
okay
upset
with.
About that.
I'm not.
But Bradley Cooper, okay. So Bradley Cooper is getting some work. Good for him. Good for him.
Akira is back in the works, maybe.
Why?
We have a new script that's being worked on.
Oh, for the love of
which
Mike.
Means that it is again moving forward. We thought it was squashed. And apparently it's coming back. But
thought.
I don't think that it's going to be under Leonardo DiCaprio's banner like it originally was slated to be.
Uh-huh.
This is a whole new... They've taken what was a script and they're tweaking it.
Flushed
it's still
it
not going to be Japan. It's still going to be New York, apparently. And
it's not Canada. It's... What do we say? What do we find out his name was going to be in that? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Did we even have a name for it?
Yeah. No. It was... Yeah, it wasn't going to be Canada. It was going to be some name when you were like, ugh, when you heard it, but I don't remember what it is now.
I don't remember. Whatever it wasn't memorable
this
enough for me to care.
This is extraordinarily a bad idea.
What, we thought it was a bad idea the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't think that will translate. I don't know that it would translate to live action properly.
Probably not.
I think it's a really kind of in-depth story. I think too much will be chopped for special effects and flashy, you know,
shit.
And it'll just be lost. Mm-hmm. You'll have a cool bike and shit blowing up. It could be directed by Michael Bay, theoretically.
Yeah, terrific.
I'm putting it out there. It's not DiCaprio now, so
okay.
It could be anybody at this point.
I can't remember the name. It's going to bug me all night, though.
Guy Ritchie. Do you know Guy Ritchie?
Good filmmaker.
Yes.
You may remember him from such films as Rock and Rolla or Snatch. Or
right.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Also correct. Lobo.
Yeah, him doing Lobo isn't a bad idea. I just think Lobo is a bad idea.
Well, it's... I don't know. That's a quirky character. And how
kinda
are you going to...
underplaying
do,
it
I mean,
a lot, aren't you?
I don't think you could do it as a PG or a PG-13 movie.
Well,
I think it would kind of have to be over the top.
Yes.
So now Warner Brothers has to... really be dedicated to making a violent, R-rated, obscure comic book character movie.
Who, well, it's not like that hasn't been done.
No, I'm not. I know that. But
I point to Tank Girl.
Right. I like Tank Girl, so I shouldn't say
that's
bad
the only,
things.
There are other ones, too, but that's one that leapt to mind. Who plays fucking Lobo?
I don't know.
I mean...
Maybe... I don't know.
Who? I just can't even think of a non-pro wrestler that
well,
could play Lobo.
All right. If you would have asked me several years ago, back before Hellboy came out, who would have played Hellboy, I would have never guessed initially Ron Perlman. And I think he pulled that role off well.
When I first heard they were going to do live action Hellboy, that's the first person I thought of
okay.
to play
Well,
Hellboy.
You're a better man than I am.
Well, this is true.
So I don't know who they would... Maybe he'll be CGI.
Oh.
I don't know. No. Who else could you put in that role?
I don't know.
Maybe you have
Ving
some wrestlers Rames. Rolling around.
I don't think they go with the
I don't think so.
Michael Clark Duncan.
That's the whole black guy thing again.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not changing your path here.
I know, but those are the dudes. I mean,
I don't know. Get a UFC fighter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
Brock Lesnar.
Get a pro wrestler. Brock Lesnar's too clean. You got to get a dirty guy in there like Perry Saturn.
Moppy?
Yeah. Like
God.
Or who's the other one I was thinking of? Who's the one that the chainmail headpiece on?
Oh,
Steiner.
Steiner.
Scott Steiner. You know, somebody crazy like that. I mean, but he's too short. That guy's like a midget. He's as tall as he is wide.
Yeah,
square.
I don't know who you get to play that role. So last week we talked about the Marvel coming under the DC banner fiasco.
Really? Marvel coming under the DC banner, huh?
Wow.
Wow.
Coming
that was
under
a bit of
Disney
news
banner.
I must have missed in last week's
wow.
episode.
Wow. That's a total brain fart. It happens. I'm allowed. Mm-hmm. Marvel coming under
don't
the
worry,
Disney
I'll
banner.
I'll let it that
no,
out.
No, don't edit it out. Leave it in.
Okay.
I like it when they make fun of me. It's fun. It's good times.
Sure. Okay.
Apparently, since that announcement, Pixar and Marvel have already been in talks and have already kind of teased what they think might be their first possible project to work on together.
I know what it is.
What?
Ant-Man.
Yep.
I knew it.
Ant-Man. Well, that could work with Pixar.
It could, except
I think it would be better than live action. It was something that we were skeptical about when we were talking about the live action Ant-Man for, a year and a half now we've been talking about that?
I have a problem with that.
Okay, go for it.
Hank Pym.
Yes.
Is an integral part of the Avengers.
Okay.
Not even arguably. He's an integral part of the Avengers. They're going to do an Avengers movie without Hank Pym, even in the supportive scientific role. That's problematic.
Well, you don't know that. Because we've heard rumors that Hank Pym is going to appear in a couple of different things, and he still might do that, and then they could work him in as Ant-Man in the Avengers movie. I think we've always been concerned about giving him his own live-action movie just himself.
Right.
So the solution to that maybe is to do the Pixar movie with him, but introduce
what?
Him into one of the... I mean, look, you could put
and
him in
what?
An Iron
you
Man movie, you could put him in
Ant-Man
Cap.
Ant-Man in the Avengers movie?
No, I'm not saying...
A little animated?
I'm just saying as a means of doing a full-length, just Ant-Man movie, maybe going the Pixar route is the right way to handle it. And then you sprinkle Hank Pym in Iron Man 3, Cap.
Okay. Like or, Nick Fury?
Like Nick Fury, exactly.
I'd rather see a Nick Fury movie by Pixar than have him sprinkled in 9 films.
All right.
That would be cool.
All right. I don't think it's such a bad idea. I think that's actually a pretty good way to go with Ant-Man.
Okay.
So. But that would be interesting. It's the first thing that we'll see them actually work on together. Everybody kind of guessed that something would be animated first anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have we checked our countdown clock for Thor?
No, but it's been a week and no announcements yet.
Okay.
So you have what? You gave it a month before Marvel announces or Disney announces the cancellation of Thor? So we'll see. We'll see if it happens.
Yep.
All right.
Unless a miracle happens. That's my out. So in case anything happens, I can say it was a miracle.
It was a miracle?
I'm covered.
All right. Halo 3, ODST. We've talked about it on the show before.
Do we know what ODST stands for yet?
We knew what it stood for at one point in time.
Ordnance Drop Ship Troopers.
Sure, if you say so.
I don't really know what it means. I'm guessing. Original.
I have no idea.
Something. ODST.
That's what Jux Mike's for. In the interim, we could talk about the trailer.
Okay.
For the game. Orbital Drop Shock Trooper. There you go. That's what ODST stands for.
Thought I had that.
Bungie and Xbox released a live action trailer for the game today. Or yesterday, I think it was.
Yes.
And it looks awesome.
And it looks like somebody raided Peter Jackson's warehouse. Full of Halo stuff.
Absolutely.
The
I mean,
movie
it's,
that never happened.
It looks fantastic. If they did a whole movie that looked like that, it would be amazing.
Yes.
I mean, visually, it was stunning. How they handled the troopers. It looked like a really good, solid movie trailer. It looked like better than most movie trailers that you see nowadays. So,
true.
Hopefully, the game will be good. Although I don't have Xbox, so I'll rely on you to get it, and then I'll come over here and play it.
Oh, don't have Xbox, huh?
No, I'm a PS3 guy. Sorry.
And a PC guy.
Yeah, you know, the good stuff. While I'm playing Joker in Arkham Asylum on a nice up-to-date laptop over here.
Hey, since you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Arkham Asylum.
It's a great game.
So I'm so excited because of what a great game you said it was. And
it
I'm
is
not,
a great game.
I'm not disputing the fact that it's a great game, but I ran out. And between your recommendation about the game and Just Mike's recommendation about the special edition, I ran out to my local store to buy the Arkham Asylum Collector's Edition.
Okay.
Which is beautiful packaging, by the way.
It is. It is. It's got a clear sort of acetate box, and inside that box is a collector's edition. It looks like a Batman sort of shaped case, and you open the case, which is magnetically shut. Magnets are the future.
We like
the
magnets on this show.
And right away out of the top, you're thinking to yourself, this is the bomb, because you open it up and inside is you see a replica Batarang from the game.
Right. It's like battle damaged and scarred.
Which at first sight looks fucking awesome. And then you touch it.
Yeah, and it's all scuffed up like it's a used Batarang. And apparently they're getting a lot of complaints that people are calling up saying, oh, my Batarang's all scratched.
Yeah, I thought I got fucked. I thought in the mail somebody fucked around with it, and apparently that's what
it's supposed to be all scratched, like, you know, this shit's been used. Then you touch it, and you realize it's fucking plastic.
What did you expect?
And not only is it fucking plastic, it's cheap-ass plastic, and it's mounted on a little stand.
Okay. It can't be metal. You'd have kids killing each
People
other.
People would be dead.
Let them kill each other. I pay. This thing was so expensive.
How much was it?
90, I believe.
90? Something like that.
90 to 100.
Yeah, you make that face, OG, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I hear
about.
The journal it comes with also is nice.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Once you lift out the protective foam layer, the entire rest of the box is pretty much a waste, because tucked into the small middle is the Arkham Asylum journal.
Okay.
Which is a really, it's actually a nice piece. It's a leatherette, I say, because if it's real leather, I'd be surprised. At the price, though, it ought to be fucking real leather. Open it up, and inside is the Arkham Asylum Journal. Patient notes, private. These are the notes of Dr. Penelope Young about the current inmates, and it gives you all sorts of little histories and stuff on all the characters that appear inside of the game.
It's kind of like the interview tapes that you get in the game.
Yeah, it's basically if you play the game, you get that. Only we get that in paper form.
Yeah,
we
paper form with a faux leather cover.
Are there pictures? I like pictures.
Yeah, there are pictures. Nice. Pictures are nice. So there's that. It's got a nice leather strap that you wrap excessively around, and then it closes. And then you get some Arkham Asylum unique prepaid redemption code, which is on the flip side of this sticker, which allows you to get exclusive access to the Crime Alley Challenge map.
Ooh!
How did you get two stickers?
I'm special.
I only got one sticker.
Well, tough.
But I do get to play as the Joker because I got it for PS3.
Shut the fuck up. I hate the both
you
of
could
you.
Download the Batcave for your PS, for your PS3 home.
Kev, I got
That's
it
fantastic.
I got it all.
Instruction manual, and then, of course, way at the bottom is the actual game.
The least important part.
Which I beat, by the way. I'd like to let everybody know listening.
Which you beat already?
I have very little to do, Kev.
Are you playing the Joker yet?
I am not playing the Joker. I'm trying to find all the riddles now to get the Platinum Trophy, because I am that much of a piece of shit.
Yo, those maps, by the way, those Riddler maps are fantastic. If you get those, you should use them.
You gotta use the Riddler maps, because it's a little... Question
yeah, man.
I don't even know what any of that means.
Oh, you'll play eventually one day.
I don't know. Apparently, I won't because it's on fucking. It's only cool on the PS3.
Oh, no. The Riddler maps, I'm sure, is available for the Xboxy also.
Anyway, I just think this collector's edition set was woefully disappointing.
Okay.
Particularly the Batarang, which I thought was the real big selling point of this.
I don't have issue with the fact that it's plastic. I understand logistically why it should be plastic. Because if it was metal, someone would kill somebody or hurt somebody. I don't like that it's mounted.
Exactly.
I think you should at least be able to pop it off the
display. Oh, you can pop it off, sir, but I don't think it's getting back on there.
A little bit of a hot air gun.
Yeah.
Melt some of that glue.
Just loosen it up and just pop it right off.
Pop it right off.
It's not a great collector's edition. It's certainly not like a WoW collector's edition or some of the other collector's editions, that, like the Halo, like the last Halo one that had the helmet case, where you can put actually all of the game, like the game boxes inside of the head. Like, that was a really cool special edition thing. I just think this one is woefully disappointing. Like,
what's the price point on this box set?
I think it's like $90 or $100.
So it's like an extra $50 for that.
I think the game is like, isn't the game like 60 new?
It's probably like 60 or 65, but still, either way, it's $30 or $40 for that garbage.
It's the case. It's the whole thing is, you know, well, I mean, when you tack it on value-wise, I'm sure it's appropriately valued. The problem is that it's crap, you know? I mean, for another $25 or $30, you get the nice case, which is really a nice case. You get the book, which is also a nice little additive sort of collector's edition thing. Whatever that sticker thing entitles you to, I think that's part of this also. That's probably has some value. I think the thing that has the least amount of value is the thing that they were counting on most to sell it, is the Batarang replica, quote unquote.
It was $90. It retails at $99.99, but it looks like it's on sale pretty much everywhere for $90. And it was also available for the PS3, that version.
Oh, you didn't get the...
No, I don't need all the crappy plastic. Right.
Exactly. That's right. There's only one sucker in the room, and that is just Mike, who then, of course, passed his bad luck on to me. Good.
We probably could take a break.
Okay.
Come back with that segment two stuff and then, you know, be done.
Yay, I'm hungry.
Word.
So we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162, All You Need Is Cash.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
I'll never be you. I'll never be you. I'll never be you.
Hey, what's up? This is Dane Cook from Good Luck Chuck, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You know it.
I'll never be, never be, wow, you.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162, All You Need Is Cash.
Said the Beatles.
Right.
Via Gene Simmons.
No. Maybe via Yoko.
I don't think it's you. I guess maybe she'd have to be involved.
She has to be involved.
Who's like the Harrison rep? Does he have kids or a wife or something?
So we had a phone call that we were considering playing this week.
No, there was never consideration that we were going to play this phone call. We should say this right off the bat.
All right. So for those loyal listeners, Jesse from Buffalo called back.
Or Valium Jesse.
Valium Jesse. And we're not playing his phone call.
Yes.
Because it was just as much a mess as his first phone call.
Yeah, for those of you that missed that, I think that was Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 160. 160?
No, I think it was 160. I think it was 160.
160, yes. Yeah. And the rambling, slurring, obviously on something, which he confirmed in the new phone call that he had.
He confirmed he was on Valium.
Taking some Valium.
He doesn't remember making the phone call.
Right.
He assures us he's made better phone calls to other shows.
Right.
And he doesn't want us to trash him this show.
Right. So right. We're going to trash him, but we're not going to play his phone call.
Right.
And,
but yes. he did have a question.
He did.
So we could at least address his question.
Well, I think what we should say also is that if you're not on Valium,
right,
and you'd like to give us a call with a question or a comment about Big Kev's Geek Stuff,
sure,
you can dial our hotline.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave us a message over there, and you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Just not drunk or on Valium.
Right. I mean, you could call with those, but...
we listen. We laugh.
Yeah. I mean, it's entertaining for us, but we won't share that.
Clearly, occasionally, we play them.
Yes. Yes.
His question was, is he the only person alive still watching Heroes?
And the answer is yes. Next question.
That was it.
That was it?
Yeah. Oh. No, I think some people are still watching it. The new season... Well, I think Just Mike is considering continuing to watch it this upcoming season.
Junkie Mike.
Well, the only thing is now that it's up against House, it's on the same time as House, I just don't think that I'm going to. Even with DVR technology, it's just too much of a piece of shit show for me to watch it anymore. I know you went through, OG, you went through the second season.
Yeah.
Like six episodes and you just...
I couldn't.
Third season.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it.
But I made it through the third and it's just not happening.
No.
It's fucking shit.
If there ever was clearer evidence that they're trying to kill a show... It's putting it up against fucking House. What's House? Like number two show in the country now? Top five. And you're going to put that piece of shit Heroes up against it? I mean, that's like the death knell.
Yeah, but in this upcoming season, Claire has a bisexual relationship with a girl.
Is that true?
It is.
Oh, wait.
We talked about that. That's how they're trying to revive the show. They're sexying it up a bit.
That's a pretty good revival.
You're going to jump back on board?
Hayden,
I'm going to watch House.
Pierre.
Sure.
Pierre? Depends who the other girl is.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can't hook her up with, like, just anybody.
All right.
You know what I mean?
It's got like, it would have to be worthwhile.
Yeah, it would have to be, Spank Bank worthy.
Aw.
She would have to be, like, the partner would have to be somebody who you would want to see Hayden Santa Pierre work over, if you will.
She's got grandma arms.
Who does? Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah.
What's grandma arms?
Just the big, fat upper arm area. It's no good.
Does she? Well, she's young,
watch
sir.
Watch the Bring It On with her in it. You'll see I'm really bad in that.
She was like 15 in that movie.
She's still got grandma arms.
I don't know. That's what I saw.
Grandma
she's
arms,
all
right. No good. Not going to compete against House. This is what we've determined.
Okay, but let me ask George a question, though. If, let's say, she had grandma arms... But she was hooking up with, let's say, Eliza Dushku.
Oh, she's got sad face. That's no good.
No?
She's got big drowsy eyes, and that's not good either.
I'll find somebody.
So grandma Bell. Arms and sad face.
Who?
Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell?
She's cutie.
Wasn't she already on the show? Didn't they try that stunt already, though?
They did. That's right. She was on that show as a villain, wasn't she? That's right. She went up against I don't fucking remember. The show
all right,
sucks.
All right. I got it. Okay. Hayden Panettiere.
Sounds like a fancy water.
Ready? And Alicia Cuthbert.
Okay. I mean, I'll watch.
See? That's what I'm saying.
I got to avert the grandma arm. I got to not watch that part.
So here's a clue. Don't look at her arms. Got plenty of other stuff to look at. You only got to look at the arms.
It's still not going to make Heroes any better.
No, it isn't.
Not at all.
No. In fact, the moment they fired Jeff Loeb, that series was in a burning, falling from the sky way and hasn't recovered.
The minute they removed everybody associated with comic books
right.
from it, it was just.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just Jeff Loeb. It was a couple of other people, too, and it just.
Well, we want to pitch this out to the listeners.
Okay.
And there is a prize involved.
Ooh.
A prize for the best response. What we'd like to know is there anything that the people behind Heroes could do, either from an executive way, and don't just say hire Jeff Loeb back because that's not creative. We could have fucking come up with that. in an either in an executive way or a storyline way that they could do to Heroes short of Hayden Tanapierre-Pieri and Elisha Cuthbert going at it. Is there any other way that they could any other thing that they could do that would bring you as a person who watched Heroes at one point back to the show?
All right. Is there? You said there's a prize involved?
There is definitely a prize involved.
Nice.
It's a nice prize, too.
All right.
And
well, this means we could wrap up the last contest then, yeah?
Well, we can, but let's, you know, we should probably tell them how they can get their entry to us, don't you think?
They could call us or email
us. You can call us over at the hotline.
425-920-6050.
Or you can email us at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Right.
And let us know. Don't tweet us. Hi. Don't do any of those things.
I follow that actively. See?
All right. Everybody follows it. Bunch of kids with your
Sorry,
tweets.
Old man.
With your tweets and your hula hoops.
Hula hoops.
So you want to send us an answer over to this contest, and we will send you a fabulous prize for the best answer, in our opinion. And speaking of which, Was that last week or two weeks ago? We threw a contest out there. We wanted to know what Batman villains in the Pantheon you felt could exist in the Chris Nolan Batman universe.
Right.
Which we feel is largely based in reality,
so to speak. And we did pick a winner.
We did. Why don't you go ahead and read that winner's response?
Well, I'll give his name first.
Okay.
It's Tom
K.
Kurzansky.
Oh.
K. He said, the first iteration of Clayface, Basil Carlo, a horror movie actor gone mad who commits crimes as his movie character.
Okay.
I think that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I think
that's a way to play Clayface that
well,
might work.
Well, that's at least why, you know, when we went through the entries and we each kind of had a pick and then narrowed it down, I actually picked him because we were kind of so steadfast about, you can't do Clayface. How are they going to do Clayface? That's the hardest one to do.
Right.
And yet neither of us thought of this, and Tom did, and so he's the winner.
Good for you, Tom. Your prize will be sent. You need to email OG your address.
Yes.
And, we will get you your prize.
Absolutely.
And that prize is a brand new 1978 Chrysler Cordova.
Really? Wow.
And, I'm just saying.
Where'd you find that?
Some prizes around here are some good shit. That's all I'm saying. That's a classic, sir. Chrysler Cordova.
All right.
Classic.
All right.
78 Chrysler Cordova. Classic.
Okay.
Prizes may be substituted without notice.
Of course. Naturally.
I have to say the fine print, or else we can get in trouble if we don't send him a Chrysler Cordova.
We should probably talk about DVDs.
Okay.
I'm pushing past the Chrysler.
I'm the whole...
On to the rest of the show.
Can I just say, this fucking holiday...
What about it?
Memorial Day just screws up my
entire
week.
Screws everything up. I know.
Whatever. Labor Day,
May,
Memorial
September,
Day, whatever.
Who cares?
The
before
end
the summer,
of summer,
after the
day.
Summer.
When shit at the boardwalk closes. Whatever day. That day, that was this past Monday, just fucks up our whole schedule on this show.
Well, we get no books. We get books a day late. Makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah. And I don't get DVDs because why make two trips?
Right.
Go on.
Fringe, the complete first season, out on DVD this week.
Yes.
And season two, right around the corner.
It's kind of House meets X-Files, isn't it?
It's kind of a really good show.
I know.
At
I
least
really
I
want,
think so. I really
I want to watch it.
It,
but the pilot didn't do it for me.
I really like the pilot. I saw it like... Whatever it was, 3 months before it aired, we got that boot copy.
Yes, that's right.
And stuff. And I really was intrigued, and I couldn't wait for the show to start. And I think it actually got better. I think that John Noble, who plays Walter Bishop Sr., is brilliant. He makes that show.
Wasn't he?
He was Denethor.
Denethor in Lord of the Rings.
In Lord of the Rings, yes.
He had that gross eating scene.
Yes.
Yeah, that was silly.
So that came out.
Okay.
And also out this week, The Office Season 5, for those of you who are fans of that, we know Just Mike is. On Blu-ray this week, Freddy versus Jason.
Okay.
The Postman.
Is that the Costner movie?
That is the Costner movie.
I actually like that Costner movie. I like those post-apocalyptic Costner movies, both of them, that and Waterworld. I don't know
like
why.
Waterworld.
I like strangely.
I'll give you The Postman, but I don't like Waterworld.
I'm strangely attracted to Kevin Costner in a post-apocalyptic... way, I guess, all story. Right. You know what? The only thing that bothered me about that movie was?
What? You know,
Tom Petty.
Why? Because what do you have against Tom Petty?
Because he's playing a guy who he goes, hey, I know you. You used to be somebody. And he's like, yeah, I used to be. Well, who could he be other than Tom Petty? And if that's the case, why does he look younger than Kevin Costner?
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
I have no idea.
That's the only thing about that movie that bothered. Everything else I liked about that movie.
Also out on Blu-ray this week, you'll be excited. Friday. Huh?
Friday like Ice Cube?
Yeah, man.
Oh, jeez.
Catwoman.
Oh, another stunner.
And Over the Top.
Oh, the Stallone classic Over the Top?
The Stallone classic.
Wow. Well, you know, it's too bad that came out after or before Attack of the Clones because I would be right on that for Blu-ray. Who the fuck is buying that movie in Blu-ray?
I have no idea.
Aileen would buy that in Blu-ray.
Over the Top?
If we had Blu-ray, she would buy that in Blu-ray. Over the Top is awesome.
Oh, my God.
And even better with the Riff Tracks track over it.
Okay, well, it might be really good with the Riff Tracks track. I can imagine that. But that whole...
That just makes
shit
funny.
The whole contraption and the over... Oh, it was...
They sold that for kids, that arm wrestling thing. They made a toy out of that.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Was that like the first like role play toy?
Yeah, for that line. They made action figures for Over the Top.
For Over the Top? No, they were Demolition Man action figures.
No, sir, I think they did Over the Top also. I think they did. We might have to look at that up.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
But...
Just saying. They didn't make any for Cliffhanger.
Thank God.
The other Stallone classic. The other, like there's only two. And those are the two. But who is buying? I mean, I don't understand why they would release shit on Blu-ray. Because who's at home going, you know what I want on Blu-ray? Over the Top. Who? Nobody is doing that.
Well, apparently somebody is doing that, or at least considering it.
No sane person is doing that. No sane person is wishing for those kind of... That's like, you know what I really want? 9 to 5 on Blu-ray. Remember 9 to 5?
It'll come out eventually.
Dolly Parton and all that.
I remember it.
The music... No, well, it wasn't a musical. Now it's a musical on Broadway. But
right.
That's what I'm saying. Who wants that shit on DVD?
I don't know.
Would you rather have Over the Top or Catwoman, though?
Oh, yeah. I'd have Over the Top.
I'd rather have Catwoman burnt. The
exactly.
The print, every copy of it ever made, all of it should just be... Yeah, but I wouldn't... That's like, but you... Which way do you want to die? Do you want to get shot or do you want to get shot? You know, there's like... It's like no choice. You're still going to die either way.
Right.
There's really no choice there.
Not
this
mine.
Is getting ridiculous with the fucking crap on Blu-ray. I'm just saying.
I bought Total Recall on Blu-ray for $8.
God.
I didn't own it on regular. $8 on Blu-ray.
All right, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
It just, you know, I
also bought The Fifth Element, I think, for $10.
I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to say this, but 20 more times. If it is not a movie that's effects-driven, why are you buying it on Blu-ray?
Are you trying to say that Fifth Element and Total Recall are not
effects driven? Well, no, Fifth Element, certainly. But Total Recall is not effects driven.
There's
some effects in it.
Come on,
what?
Twatto.
The girl had a third boob? Twatto was a fucking puppet. It's all fucking Muppets, sir.
I'm just saying.
Puppets. You can't say Muppets.
What about
there
that
no
fantastic claymation, suffocating in space, large ripoff
scene?
Oh,
my God. That was awful.
And the three boob girl.
I said that already.
That's good, so.
That wasn't right, now, a special effect.
Isn't this just...
It was an effect.
Isn't this just like when VHS was phasing into DVD, though? Aren't they just trying to release everything so we rebuy everything?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's part of the motivation. I just don't understand why, if anybody has a DVD copy of that movie, that you would upgrade to a Blu-ray copy.
I agree.
Because at this point, if it's not effects-driven and it wasn't shot in somewhat digital format, there's no point in getting it on Blu-ray.
I agree.
Get a Blu-ray player that upscales DVDs and you're doing the same thing.
I agree.
Same.
I only bought those two movies because I didn't own them regular.
And I don't
care.
$8
or $9.99 a piece.
And who's buying Blu-ray? Is that Sony?
Sony, yeah.
Right? And I don't care what Sony says about, you know, the what they're trying to feed the public is, no, you don't understand. They have to squish the sound onto the disc of a regular DVD, but not with Blu-ray. With Blu-ray, it's full and complete sound, and that's shit. Because I have a Bose system, and I play regular DVDs on a shitty DVD player, and my shit sounds beautiful.
I admit the sound on some of the Blu-ray discs sounds really, really crisp. I'm just saying.
You just got to be contrary, guys.
No. Well, you don't have a... If you had a Blu-ray player here, I would bring one over and we can watch something.
Jesus Christ.
It's like remastering audio. You do get a little bit of a crisper sound. It's not profound. It wouldn't be the sole reason for me to purchase it. Absolutely not. All right. Let's move on.
Just Mike, did you make a comic book list for this week? Why don't you give us that list? I'm so disgusted with this conversation that I would just like to take a break while Just Mike does his comic book report.
I'm gonna eat a ring ding.
Okay, we got
God, wait, hold on. Will you stop with that rapper? You understand eating on the air is bad? You understand how annoying it is and the noise that it makes? Can you stop? You're being rude to Just Mike.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, it's delicious.
Looks fantastic. I should have taken when I had the opportunity.
God, you hear that? That's exactly what he sounds like with a cock in his mouth. I've seen the video. Go ahead. What were you saying? Comic books?
Comic books this week, which, again, is fucked up because of whatever the fuck holiday.
I think it's Labor Day.
Labor Day. That screwed up my schedule and when I can go to the comic book store. To get going, Adventure Comics number 2, which is the first one was absolutely fantastic. Written by Geoff Johns, who is basically taking over the DC Universe book by book. The artist is a young artist, Francis Manapul, I believe his name is.
What's Adventure Comics? Who's in
that? That is Connor Kent. It is the son of Superman and Lex Luthor. Superboy.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Superman and Lex Luthor had a son?
They took the DNA. He's half Lex Luthor. He is half Superman.
I'm unaware of this character.
Yes, this is Adventure
Comics. Oh, so he's the new Superboy?
Remember the series they did in the 90s when after Superman died and they had the Superboy line when he was down in Hawaii?
Yes.
And he had those goggles that
right,
shot.
Right, right, right.
And he has the telekinesis
right.
power or whatever. That's what this is.
Oh, okay.
And he has the whole point of the whole point of the series is to have...
It's okay for you to not address the people just walking in and out of Studio A.
I did not want to
be rude. Understand that you are a very nice guy and everything, but, you know, please maintain some professional decorum, Just Mike.
And basically, where the series is going is the battle in his own mind of Superman and Lex Luthor being two sides of him. And the first issue ended with a fantastic ending.
Oh, it's such a heart wrencher! I can tell already.
Oh, I think everyone should go pick it up immediately. And I have I know you're.
It sounds
not...
to me just like Platoon when young Charlie Sheen is debating whether he is, as he says, that felt like the son of the two fathers, the Tom Berenger character and the Willem Dafoe character.
Two men. Well, depends if you consider Superman a man or an alien.
Mm.
So. We'll leave it with that. We'll leave the fans with that one.
Yes.
But pick Answer it up. The art in it is fantastic. The artist is a young kid. He's really good. I sent him a Twitter message telling him how much I liked it. He did not respond to me.
Asshole.
Asshole. Blackest Night, Batman number 2. Another, not written by Geoff Johns, but another thing stemming from his regime over the DC Universe. As you know, Bruce Wayne's skull is missing. Dick Grayson's trying to find it. We're going through all that, blah, 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 blah. Pick it up. It's going to be good. Wednesday Comics, which is constantly mentioned on this show because it is so damn good, and it is so much bang for your buck because you get all the great characters that we love all in one complete story week by week, and you can always pick it up.
Right, and that's the oversized newsprint, broadsheet style, newspaper style, one-page stories. Those are excellent.
And the Superman art, the guy that Lee that did Joker and the Lex Luthor story.
Right.
Fantastic art
awesome.
On the Superman one. And on the Marvel or Disney side of things.
okay.
the Dark Reign, the list, Avengers number 1, one shot. It is an awesome cover, it looks like. It's a list. It's got a list of blood with a finger. Awesome cover. Looks like we should pick it up. And the most essential thing in the Marvel Disney universe is the Marvel's Project number 2. The cover is awesome. The first one was awesome. I highly suggest picking it up. And one other thing in comic books that I'd like to say that I think people out there, especially that like the show, would enjoy. Chew
It's a series from Image Comics. I just, on a recommendation, picked it up. I don't know if any of you guys read it.
I've heard of it, but I haven't actually picked it up yet.
It's the most...
It hasn't been collected yet, right?
Original... No, it's
well, there's why I haven't read it.
We'll wait for the collection.
OG will be waiting for that.
It's at number four right now.
Oh.
It's the most original comic book out right now. It's about a detective who works now for the Food and Drug Administration because chicken has been outlawed in the United States. It sounds stupid. Pick it up. Read it. It's hilarious. It's sick. It's well written. That is my Just Mike recommendation for the week.
He's creating his own bits.
Good for him.
The Just Mike recommendation of the week.
Pick up Chew. It's a fantastic title out from Image.
It's dedicated.
He needs a stinger for that. The Just Mike recommendation stinger.
Hey,
we'll come up with something.
I will throw my shitty name behind it. So.
There you go.
I promise you that. Thank you.
Hey, if that Just Mike name means something to you, you're going to run out and pick up Chew. So, okay, very good. Thanks for the comic update. At least Just Mike was at least on the ball with the comics.
Hey,
I was ready to say fuck comic books this week because of Labor Day, but Mike said no.
We do have one more thing we probably want to talk about tonight, right?
What's that?
That would be the DC Entertainment thing where we...
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Matt. That sounds like the D&D, the D&D opener, so I'm going to have to...
Stephen Lynch, for keep cutting me off opener. That's what that is.
I can't predict when the D&D is going to rise up and take over the show, but it's happened now. That's obviously the D&D intro, so we're going to have to talk about our D&D product of the week.
Which is
the product we talk about each and every week.
I mean the product. I know what the bit is.
Well, I'm explaining to people who don't know what the bit is, sir. Oh. And that is our ongoing study, investigation, and review of the Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition, brought to us by the fine people at Wizards of the Coast. If you'd like to check out the product we're going to talk about tonight or other products, you can go over to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And tonight we're going to talk about an interesting product, and that is the Dragon Magazine annual book that has come out. So for those of you that don't know, way back in the distant past of the 70s and 80s, there was a magazine called Dragon Magazine, and each month it detailed articles and stories and content for the D&D universe of way back then.
Gary Gygax and the other guy?
Yeah, the other guy. And this was largely, they obviously had a writing staff that worked on this magazine and all sorts of things that were related to the D&D universe. And they had fans and other people who were writing in. And so it was a great, valuable resource for the D&D player of the late 70s, all through the 80s, even into the 90s and beyond. In fact, the magazine as an actual physical monthly publication ended in 2007 with, I think it was issue 359, I think was the actual last one that occurred. And what they did was they transformed Dragon Magazine into an online entity. So you were still getting the great articles, features, and other things that were featured in the old Dragon Magazine in an online format as they transitioned into the 21st century.
Eventually,
some 7 years later.
Right.
And that said, the folks over at Wizards of the Coast decided, you know what? We're going to pick through all the stuff that's been written in the Dragon Magazine online edition since the launch of 4th edition. And they picked out the best stuff that came in that came in for that online publication, and they put it in a hardcover book, which I found very odd considering they left print to go online and now are taking the best online and putting it in print. I thought the irony there was a little something.
They felt obviously something was good. But if the Shady Dragon Inn isn't in there, then...
Well, sir, the Shady Dragon Inn was a module like a thousand years ago.
It was a good module.
Let it go.
No, I love it.
Let it go.
I sleep with it.
Oh, there's no 4th edition
two. I
Shady
found two.
Dragon Inn. There's no 4th edition Shady Dragon
Inn. And this is what's wrong with D&D.
Is that what what's wrong?
That's it.
But that said, we should say it's 160 pages of stuff for 4th edition that's not included in the current rule books. Some of the things, actually, I just want to point out one giant section. It's page 75 through like 103. So it's at like 28 pages if I'm
sure
doing any kind of math. It's about gladiatorial combat and arena combat, which is something I think that every good D&D campaign at one point or other should make available to its players. So you're going in and you're fighting other single characters, or in some way you end up, the characters end up in some sort of gladiatorial situation where they need to do this in order to complete something or for their own survival in some cases.
Right.
And there has been no real explanation or that sort of thing for that in 4th edition. But now they have it here. Obviously, there's two different sections, about one about arena fighting and competitions and so forth, and the other section right after it about more of a gladiator-type aspect of that type of combat. I think that's a really valuable piece that's in here. And those are just two of the many pieces that appear in this book that appeared in the online publication of Dragon Magazine. So this, I think, becomes, this hardcover book becomes a valuable resource, I think, for the D&D player. Going to run you about $30 retail, but I think for the contents that you're getting inside, I think it's well worth it.
Sure.
Of course, it's beautifully illustrated throughout. Lots of tables and things to support the articles and things that are featured inside. I think it's a great addition. I was a little skeptical of this one. I didn't understand. It's not that I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate where they were going to go with kind of collecting the online and put into print stuff that was formerly in print.
Well, I'm glad that they've turned
the irony
around.
Was, yes. Didn't you have something also about...
Yeah, D&D Unlimited, which is the new version of the online D&D MMO, is leaving, I think, open beta and getting ready to go public, and it's free play. It's a free-to-play MMO, and it's launching, I think, next week. You'll be able to play just, you know, getting the game and going on. But then there'll be items within the game that you can actually purchase, or
right,
expansions like dungeons and raids and or that type of thing,
right,
within the context of the game. But the month-to-month subscription is not going to exist. So,
oh, that's good. So, in some way, they'll be able to make some money through some sort of equipment buys or that sort of thing.
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah, man.
That could work.
Absolutely.
We'll see how long that one lasts.
I might be willing to give it a go just to see how it plays.
The last iteration didn't last so long.
Well, that's probably why they.
They're also their combat isn't it real time combat in that game? So it, unlike, you know, WoW, which we refer to a lot here, that's a not really turn based per se, but it's kind of on a cooldown system in many cases. Where
right.
I think the D&D thing is one click, one swing. So the quicker you click that button, the quicker you swing or do some sort of action.
I don't know.
That's what I heard.
I didn't see that, but I would think they've got to figure out a balance for that, though.
Well,
because
that's
easy to cheat.
Do you think?
That's easy to cheat.
Maybe.
If it's based on actual clicks, you can you know, there are
get something that clicks really like a million clicks a second.
Look, you tied a chopstick to a fan, taped it to a mouse, and figured out how to macro galaxies back in the day.
Well, that
someone could figure out how to click a mouse button.
I can't help if I'm a mad genius on how to cheat on MMOs. I can't help that.
You're right. I'm not saying.
I can't help. I find loopholes and exploit them.
That's right.
I haven't really found a good one for WoW yet. Although I have, but I really
they're
kind of
hard
about
that in WoW.
No, there's ways.
I'm sure there are.
Just
ways.
Saying there's ways.
All right.
You need a friend who's a horde, and you're an alliance. I'm just saying there are ways.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
People are getting caught too, which is kind of scary. I got to cut my relationship off with my hoardy person.
They're gonna ban you.
No, nah, they're never gonna ban me again. Not after the last time, which was bullshit, by the way. But we're not gonna get into that. This is the D&D segment, sir.
Right.
So there it is. Check out the new iteration of the Dungeons and Dragons online MMO, and also check out the Dragon Magazine Annual from the folks over at Wizards of the Coast.com. And for more information about the 4th edition products that are available, please go check out D&D Insider, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that
is the D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
And with that, let's take our final break on this episode, 162, two, right?
Yes.
All you need is cash, and we'll be right back with the wrap-up.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Peter Fonda from 310 to Yuma, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Get cool.
Born to be wild. Born to be
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162. All you need is cash. And naturally, this is the point where we go into the shitty wrap-up. But just, Mike, I think you had something you wanted to share with us, so we're going to pass it over to you.
Well, I don't know if anybody saw online, but someone who is a popular subject on this show, Mr. Brett Ratner.
Ugh. Oh, the rat.
The rat himself was interviewed about comic book fans and the reaction of people on the internet to X3, and Mr. Ratner had some interesting things to say about the people in this room, not personally, but in general.
Gonna say, better not say shit about me, because I'll find him and kick his ass.
Well, can't wait to hear this.
Mr. Ratner said that he'd refused to look on the internet at the advice of Bryan Singer about fans talking about his movie, and that he does not care if comic book fans didn't like X3 because, and I quote, "those guys have nothing going for them anyway."
So there you go.
And comic fans.
Well, you know, you have to give it to a guy who nailed Jessica Simpson that, you know, he might have a point there.
No.
No, no, he does.
No.
But that said, his X3 was still a piece of shit.
For comic book fans and non-comic book fans alike, it was still a terrible movie.
You know, that was... Who else said that? What other dummy? Tim Burton said a comment like that, too.
Tim Burton had some comments like that, yeah.
He said, anybody that knows me knows that I would never read a comic book. Well, duh. Well, that explains Batman. That's actually Kevin Smith's line. I should give him credit.
Yes.
Because Kevin Smith said that, you know, which explains Batman.
But I liked Batman.
You know, for what it was, okay, fine. But the point is that Brett Ratner made a shitty movie, and of course he doesn't want to talk about how he didn't talk to anybody about it because, you know, nobody would... I mean, who would talk to him about it?
I mean,
you know? Who was the positive yes man in the corner was like, that is a great fucking idea, Brett?
The fact of the matter is I know so many people that collect comic books that have families and kids and good jobs and have a lot going for them, probably more going for him than his piece of shit ass, his unfulfilled Hollywood disgusting piece of shit garbage movie maker ass that
Mike's
he has going
mad.
For him.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about that motherfucker. I really
wow.
Like him.
Wow. Nice. So, bring the rage.
I will look at him in the eye and tell him what a piece of shit he is.
I like him.
Like
let me just ask you, and not to egg anything on, but do you like Chris Claremont? Okay, let's just leave it at that.
All right. Can we
you and I can both go on about that.
Let's go into the wrap-up.
Yes, let's.
I'm hungry.
What did we talk about on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 162, whatever we called it?
We talked about who the hell is going to play Lobo. Nicolas Cage is saving the Green Hornet by leaving it. Rampage Jackson is going to be B.A. Baracus in the A-Team. And Rambo is fighting monsters.
We also talked about the absolutely crap collector's edition of Batman Arkham Asylum for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. Game's great. Collector's edition is a cheap piece of garbage. Not nearly worth what most people have paid for it.
Akira, not quite dead yet, and everything Beatles came out this week.
Yeah, there was a lot of Beatles stuff. The comic is coming.
Rock Band 2, the remastered library.
We made fun of Gene Simmons.
Right. In DVDs this week, we talked about The Postman on Blu-ray, Over the Top on Blu-ray. We also mentioned Fringe, the complete first season, The Office season 5, and a couple of other things that you could probably check out anywhere else.
In comics this week, our own producer, Just Mike, had some recommendations.
Recommendations comics this week. Adventure Comics is Connor Kent's father, as we discussed, is Tom Berenger and Willem Dafoe. Blackest Night, Batman number 2. The Marvels Project, number 2. And Dark Reign, the list, Avengers number 1. And the Just Mike shit name back of the week, Chew, from Image Comics. I guarantee you will like it, even though you have no idea if my credibility is even there. So there you go.
You're establishing credibility on a book called Chew. I'm just saying.
About chicken being outlawed in the United States.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
And don't forget that we had a D&D segment, where we discussed the Dragon Magazine annual, as well as the new iteration of the D&D online MMO going for free. Maybe you have to pay some stuff for a while. But to check out more about the 4th edition D&D, don't forget to go to D&D Insider, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com.
Okay, now we can remind them.
Yes.
That they can find us each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we still have the fancy schmancy t-shirts for sale. And no matter how many times you email us or call us, we don't have the Flash Gordon commentary any longer.
There are no more Flash Gordon commentary discs to have. Actually, that's a lie.
That's kind of a lie.
If you see Melody Anderson or Sam Jones at an event, they theoretically
may still have some DVDs
for sale, those special limited edition DVDs that we did with the commentary. In fact, I hear Melody Anderson is going to be at the Big Apple Con,
yes,
which is now run by Wizard, in October, a couple of weeks,
yeah,
about a month from now, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she'll have some there. I don't know. Maybe she'll be selling them for an extraordinary amount of money. I don't know. But I know we don't have them. So
okay.
I'm sorry if you guys missed the entire year they were on sale, but we don't have any more. We are sold out. That's why it was a limited edition, so we didn't have to keep going through this.
Right.
There it is.
Don't forget, you can also check us out over at geekerdome.com, along with a bevy of other shows and content.
Yes.
And I like Toy Break and Hippo Juice and Flick and Sorolin
plug themselves.
IHL. I was gonna say thank you and then let them say something. All right. Go ahead, go for it.
OG was doing a great job. You had it.
Thanks.
Yeah, check us all out over at geekerdome.com. We post new episodes every week-ish, as do you guys.
Every week-ish.
Well, it's kind of the schedule.
We're
over there.
Kind of every week-ish.
And also a special plug this week for our good friend Coke Logic, who does Gift of Oni over at Geekerdome. He has an entry in an animation contest right now, and he's looking for your support and votes, and I'll be posting that link up online in the next day or two. So please check that out. And
are we going to post that at Geekerdome?
Like, I am going to post it at Geekerdome, and I will put a link to it over at Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And what about Big Kev's Eat Stuff? Can we get a link over there?
Yeah, when it exists, sure.
It exists? Why don't you go to it right now, sir?
I'm there. Funny, it looks like I'm looking at the Geek Stuff page.
It's going to happen still.
Mm-hmm.
There are budget cuts.
Uh-huh.
Maybe if I was the Beatles.
Maybe.
I could have, had it.
One of the handful left. Yeah,
maybe.
All right.
And with that, we're going to ask Just Mike, do you have any final comments for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 162, All You Need Is Cash?
For the last time, fuck you, Brett Ratner.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear, you may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. We thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots and young men and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
We would all